Joining us now from up in New Jersey at Baltusrol, home of the host of the PGA Championship, we have Doug Steffen, the head golf professional, joining us. Doug, welcome into the golf shop.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so we're going to get right into it. Is the course going to play firm and fast, or are we going to be a little bit softer up there as some thunderstorms maybe roll through?
We're working on firm and fast, and that seems to be what is going to happen next week. Our weather forecast long range is pretty good, and I think we're able to get the golf course where we'd like to have it. So I think you're going to have a firm, fast golf course for the championship.
So you guys would prefer firm and fast. How does that make the course play? I mean, you've got a couple of epic long holes that maybe could be helped out by firm and fast. But when you look at it, you know, why is that your ideal condition?
Well, you know, they like it firm and fast because with driving the golf ball, and it has a tendency to roll into the rough. There's a little bit of roll out on the fairways, and then it's really difficult to get the ball close to the hole when you're hitting into the greens. Our greens are very large, and it's tough to get those shots close to the pins when the greens are nice and firm. So that's an ideal situation from a standpoint of running the tournament, even though we're going to be a little under 7,500 yards total distance. It'll play a little bit short of that just because of trying to get the conditions to be in that firm and fast way that we'd like to have them.
All right, so when we look back to 05 and Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship there, 276 minus 4 being the score, how do you think conditions will play into that number? Are we going to be able to – I mean, these guys are obviously hitting it a lot further than back in 05, even though the USGA and the RNA try and claim that they're not, or just the USGA. But, you know, where do we think the score is going to kind of fall? I mean, we know traditionally the USGA tries to go, you know, close to par, and the last two U.S. Opens there were minus 8 and minus 8. So what are you thinking number-wise?
Well, one thing you got to keep in mind, which I have been telling a lot of people, is we're par 70, and compared to like a par 72, that's an 8-shot differential right away off of 4 days of golf. So if you look at the history of Baltusrol, most of the scores have always been between 4 under and 7 or 8 under, and I kind of think we're going to be between 7 to 9 under for the event if the weather conditions are the way that we're predicting. But that's equivalent to like 15 to 17 under if you're par 72. So, you know, you look at the scores and you see like 20 under winning or 18 under is winning a tournament. You know, take 8 shots off of that if they're par 72, and that's about where you have us. So I'm saying 7 to 9 under is a good score.
All right, so when I'm looking at the scorecard, I mean, you've got that 17th hole. It's a 650-yard par 5 followed by another 550-yard par 5. How far up do you guys think that tee has to go to encourage guys to go for it in two? I know historically there hasn't been a lot of luck with that. I know John Daly did it, and I know Tiger actually went over. But, you know, where does that tee box have to go to give the guys enough encouragement to go for it in two?
You know, the key to that hole is driving the ball in the fairway, and I think what you're going to see is a lot of players won't be hitting driver off that tee because that's not necessarily the key shot. You've got to get something in the fairway where you can get your second shot over the desert we call the Sahara, which is a big sand complex in the middle of the fairway. So in 05, we had a bunch of guys go for it. It was firm and fast and downwind about 20, 25 miles an hour, but nobody kept the ball on the green. So the tee is always going to be at 650. When Daly hit it on there in 93, it was playing 630. So we moved that tee back another 20 yards, and most of the players will be laying up to around that 80 to 100 yard area. I call it a short par 3. Once you get the ball in the fairway, you position yourself to make a lot of birdies from that 80 to 100 yard area into the green.
All right, so we here in the Charlotte area, we've got Quail Hollow hosting next year, and we know that they're basically redoing a lot of the holes in the front nine, kind of changing the whole front nine scoring and how things are routed. Has there been any dramatic changes since we last saw Baltusrol in 05?
A lot of changes, actually. What we did in 05 is we narrowed the fairways, but we never touched the fairway bunkers. So they were in the original location of where the fairways were a little bit wider. So what happened in 05 is when we did narrow the fairways, the bunkering set up, you know, pretty far apart from where the fairways were. So we did a total bunker renovation and moved the fairway bunkers closer to what are the current fairways, but also relocated them to adapt to the way that the players are hitting the ball today because our bunkers had gotten out of position. So we redid all that, and we added some collection areas behind a couple holes, and we also built a few new tees that were not there in 05. So that's why we're going to be almost 7,500 yards. We've added some additions, some expansions to the green complexes. So we picked up some pin placements in, you know, back right corners and back left corners that we didn't have in 05. So it's going to be a totally different golf course for the guys that did play in 05. And a lot of the players that are playing today have never seen the golf course because they were like 11 and 12 years old when we had the last tournament. So your Jordan Spieth and your, you know, Jason Days and the Ricky Fowlers and stuff have never seen the golf course.
Well, we're excited to be talking to Doug Steffen, the head pro up at Baltusrol, getting ready for the PGA Championship. And as we look at the scorecard, I mean, for those of us who aren't fortunate enough to get up there and watch it live or have played the course, where can we look for players to make a push? And then as these guys in the studio know, I like to know where to look for carnage. I like carnage. So where can I find some carnage?
Well, I'll tell you, the key to the golf course in scoring are the first seven holes. Two of those holes are converted par fives for my membership to par fours for the championship. And they played the most difficult. And if you can get off to a good start there and go through those first seven holes, even at even par, and then all of a sudden you've got some birdie holes in front of you. You got some shorter par fours. You got some holes that you can make up some ground on. And then, of course, as you get to 17 and 18, those are going to be two really key holes in the championship because a lot can happen on those par fives with if a person doesn't drive it in the fairway and can't get over the bunkers. You can see two, three, four-shot swings over the last two holes. So it's kind of an exciting finish to the golf course. But those first seven holes are the key to get started to having a good round.
So, Doug, obviously you'll be too busy to be hanging out drinking beers. But if you weren't, where would we find you hanging out drinking beers? I mean, where on the course are the best views and the best, you know, best place to see the action?
We have a grandstand behind the fourth hole that holds 2,500 people. It's like a big amphitheater back there. It's going to be kind of like the Phoenix Open atmosphere, I think. And then we've got some positions behind number 18 that we didn't have in 05 that's going to probably seat about 1,000 people. And there's some great viewing areas out there, but I think a lot of individuals are going to hang out behind four over at the Wanamaker tent, which is a big tent right next to the third tee on which is a 504-yard par four. And I think there'll be a lot of individuals hanging out there. And there's a lot of beer concession stands all over the place. So I think you'll see a lot of people hanging out there, too.
I love it. I love it. All right. So let me ask this. When you start, you know, I'm sure the members come in and they talk to you and they ask the superintendent questions. I mean, do the members really want to see this course show its teeth? Or do they want to see guys go low on this golf course? I mean, it's always a toss-up. Some memberships are like, you know what? We don't want these guys breaking par in this golf course. And there's other memberships that are like, you know what? Let these guys have fun and make a bunch of birdies.
Yeah, I think you get a little bit of both on that. Our membership doesn't want to see these guys come in and shoot 15, 17, 18 under par on their golf course because, you know, they're very proud of the history and tradition of the club. And one of the things Baltusrol has always stood up to the greatest players that have played the game. And when you look at, like I said earlier, the history, the scores have always been between four under and seven or nine under. Nobody's ever reached double digits as far as a final score at Baltusrol. So they'd like to see that. They want to see a lot of excitement. They want to have the players have some fun. One of the great things about Baltusrol is the golf course is right in front of you. There's no gimmicks. There's no trickery. If you play good, you get rewarded for your good shots. And if you don't play well, then you're going to be not there on the weekend. So they're very proud of that, and I think they're always as concerned that they're going to come in and shoot a low number, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Is there a hole, because we've seen this a lot with USGA and PGA Tour events and major championships, is there a hole that might, a par four, that they might move up and make drivable, or has there been any talk about that?
I don't think they will do that here. We don't really have a hole. The closest hole that you could have to making a drivable par four is number two, which can be played at about 320 yards. But you can't see the landing area. You can't see the green. So it's kind of a blind shot. That's the only hole that would actually be put into that position. So I don't think that we did not do that in 05, and I don't think you'll see that in this year in 2016.
Well, I mean, obviously Baltusrol has an amazing history and the heritage up there, but I you know, you have players who are members and probably some folks who come by for lessons who, you know, they're maybe not so great at golf. And we're trying to work on a movement here to to convert people from coming into a lesson and asking for 10 or 15 yards on their drive, but instead focusing on two or three strokes off their game. Are you seeing that same trend up there that, you know, golfers, everybody just wants the chicks dig the long ball and they would rather be, outdrive their friends by 10 yards than beat them by two strokes?
Yeah, we do. It's a great point. You know, everybody wants to see how far they can hit it. But, you know, the one thing that we really stress a lot of here is a short game, bunker areas, around the greens. You know, one of the tough shots that you're going to see during this tournament is the length of the rough around the greens and how difficult it is to maneuver those shots and get the ball up and down. So, you know, everybody goes to the driving range, takes out their driver, and let's see how far I can hit it. But we have a lot of individuals that are working on their short game because they know that's where they can make up some shots.
All right. Well, Doug, before we let you go, what kind of player do you think is going to be the one that wins? I mean, we know the drive for show, putt for dough. We know Phil Mickelson's played well there in the past with his short game and the ability to kind of get it up and down from the porta potties. Whose game is going to set up for this? I mean, is it somebody that hits it long and straight? Is it Zach Johnson that can kind of plot his way around and hit some good wedge shots and is a good putter? I mean, what are we going to see? Who's going to rise to the top?
A guy that drives the ball good is going to be a person that's going to come out on top here. You've got to drive the ball in the fairways. It's key to scoring. You cannot get the ball out of the rough onto the greens and have a chance to make birdies on too many of these holes. So you got to have a good driver and a person that is a good putter, especially in that 5 to 6 foot range, because you get a lot of those on our greens, being that they're so big. And you know, your first putts get up there and kind of roll out to the 5 or 6 foot area, and you've got to be a good short putter. So I think that combination, you've got to be long as well. This is a big golf course, you know. It's like I said, almost 7,500 yards. So you got to hit it long and straight. It's going to be hell, but you got to be in the fairway.
Well, Doug, man, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and we look forward to a great PGA Championship.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and good luck. And I think we're going to have a great championship, and we'll see who's going to win. But we're crossing our finger Phil repeats himself, so we'll see what happens.
All right, thanks a lot.